Well, good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we kicked off our Now Playing series. This is every year one of our, I think, most fun series. We're talking about the intersection of really faith and film. And this week at the Delaware campus, we were talking about Frozen 2. Just as a little fun story for you, because of poor planning on my part, I got to go watch Frozen on the Monday before that Sunday at 11:30 a.m. alone. So that was super fun. You know, on the one hand, I'm sitting there going, this is really cool. Like, for my job, I get to sit down and watch a movie. That's so great. On the other hand, again, because of a little bit of procrastination on my part, I am sitting at the Polaris Theater right now alone as an adult male watching a movie that, generally speaking, is geared towards like 6-year-old girls. And I was texting some of our other, you know, teaching guys and Morgan, my wife. I'm texting her going, man, this is just awkward and kind of funny. And I wonder if this can get any more awkward. And it did. Cause then two dads came in with their, like, you know, 3 or 4 year old daughters. One had, I think, his 3-year-old daughter. The other one had maybe she was like 5 or 6. And then he also like 4-year-old son. So now I'm just the guy sitting in the back alone, right? With it. It was very weird. So anyway, that was my experience last week. So watch Frozen 2, and we got a chance to talk about that on Sunday, and how really, how do the themes of that movie intersect or point us toward the gospel. And so we went to Matthew chapter 4, and we looked at the passage where Jesus comes and he calls the first disciples, and he comes to Simon Peter and to Andrew and to John and James, and he tells them, get out of their boats, follow me, right? He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they get out of the boats and immediately they follow him. They leave everything else behind and they follow Jesus. So we talked about, you know, following Jesus is trusting Jesus without reservation. It's obeying him without hesitation. That certainly doesn't mean we don't count the cost of discipleship, that there's no, you know, thought process there. It's not just unthinkingly following Jesus, but rather that when you do follow Christ, and certainly we don't do this perfectly, the disciples didn't do this perfectly, but I mean, they followed Jesus, they are leaving everything else behind and saying, hey, we're following you. And you see that, you know, throughout the rest of their time following Jesus, moments where, you know, when Jesus says some really hard things and he says, you know, a lot of people leave him. He looks at the disciples and says, are you going to leave as well? And Peter says, look, we left everything to follow you, right? You've got the words of life. Where else would we go? So we talked about, you know, what does discipleship look like in that way of trusting Christ without reservation, of obeying him, you know, without hesitation, making him first in our lives. Everything else has to come second to Christ. But we also talked about how, you know, there's a general theme to Frozen 2, I think, and really almost every Disney movie I've ever seen, animated wise. And I'm not knocking on Disney movies. I love Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, right? I mean, there's some really great, well done films. But oftentimes the heart of the film, the message of the film is follow your heart. And of course, the message of the scriptures is not that. The scriptures consistently teach, don't follow your heart. Your emotions can deceive you. Your heart, right? I mean, our emotions are fickle. We as human beings are fickle, and our heart can be deceitful. And that's why we don't follow our hearts. We follow Jesus. We follow him. And so we talked through how I think there are three characters that in a lot of ways portray culture's answers to, hey, where do you find, you know, what do you follow in your life? Where do you find life and joy and purpose and value? And one is probably the biggest one, maybe the biggest one, is this, your heart. You look within, you look to yourself. There's a song that Elsa sings. Elsa represents that sort of thought process. There's a song she sings in the movie. And one of the lines is, you know, she's talking, she hears this voice out in the wilderness and she's following the voice and she's trying to discover the truth and her true identity. And as she's singing about, are you the one that I've been waiting for, you know, to really know who I am? The voice sings back to her, you are the one that you've been waiting for. You are the one. In essence, right, there's nobody outside of yourself that you have to look to for fulfillment and for really salvation, in a sense. You just look within. And the scriptures, of course, say, man, you don't look within, you look to him, you look to Christ. And there were two other strands, though, as well, and that was Kristoff, his character, Anna's boyfriend. And if you've not seen the film, I don't want to spoil it for you, but he does propose to her, right? So they end up, you know, husband and wife. And Kristoff sings a song called Lost in the Woods, and it is hysterical. It's fashioned after a 1980s power ballad. It sounds just like Chicago's You're the Inspiration. It's amazing. So fun. I laughed out loud in the theater, which only lent towards the, you know, very awkward situation of this guy in the back of the theater laughing out loud at Frozen while dads and their kids, right? Anyway, so he sings that song, and what he's singing about is how Anna, right, is his true north. That she is everything to him. And if she leaves him, that, I mean, he's just lost in the woods, and he's in a physical woods, so it's very funny. But the bigger idea is he's lost in life. He has no direction. He doesn't know which way is north because his true north is Anna. And so it represents this idea of romantic love, right? That's where you can find everything that you're looking for. And then Anna represents sort of the idea of family. She, her whole existence is she's protecting Elsa, right? She loves her sister and she wants to protect her and care for her. And so we just talked through how, you know, each one of those, you know, your romantic love is great. Marriage is great, but you can't ask your spouse to be your savior. You're going to find that your spouse is crushed under that expectation and you're disappointed by their failures and their shortcomings. And your marriage is strained because of that, because of these unrealistic expectations. And you can't even look to family, right? To caring for and protecting your family. Family is a wonderful gift from the Lord. But I spoke to our parents a little bit, and specifically I said maybe moms deal with this the most, and that is looking to your kids as really your little gods in a sense. And I said, look, they are absolutely wonderful gifts, but be careful that those little gifts don't become your little gods. They're not your savior. Your kids aren't your savior. Eventually they will grow up and hopefully leave the home and go make homes of their own. And so we don't want to idolize our kids. We are called to have Jesus first in our life. Jesus says, follow me. Put me first. Seek first the kingdom. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't look within, right? You look to him. You look to Christ. We don't follow our hearts. We follow Jesus. And so if I can encourage you this morning, I do think that those are pretty prevalent messages in our culture, right? Follow your heart. Look to your romance or your spouse for, you know, all of your inspiration and to really save you in a sense, or look to your kids or just family in general. And a lot of those things are good things, right? Family's a good thing. Marriage is a wonderful thing. But we don't look to those things to save us. We look to Christ, and we don't look within, right? When we look within, we see sinfulness, right? We need a savior. We need to look without, to Christ, to him, to follow him, and receive grace and forgiveness from him. So recognize, right, that is a message that's often taught in film and through other media. And I think we would do well to recognize that and to consciously, in a sense, reject it and say, no, we see what the scripture teaches and we're following Christ. He is our savior. So let me pray that for you this morning and then take a moment and pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the ability to look in the Word of God and to see what is truth. And Father, we believe that truth has a name. His name is Jesus. And Lord, thank you that we are not left here on this earth to just try to navigate life on our own. We don't have to follow just our feelings or our heart. And we certainly don't look to other people, other human beings to satisfy us and to fulfill us. God, we look to you. Jesus, we follow you. You call us. You moved first in this relationship, and you call us to trust you and to follow you. And so, Lord, as we follow you, will you help us to do that better? Will you help us to trust you more and just love you more deeply and to obey you without hesitation? God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Go ahead and take a moment and pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.